Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today we welcome Dave Rosenberg into the Cigar Lounge. Dave, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic, Joe. I'm really appreciative that you invited me along.
We're so glad to have you here. You know, I always start by telling people it's a shame we're not sitting back and having a cigar to talk, but, you know, we've got to do this via the airways, so that's what we're doing today.
Well, the reality is nothing's keeping us from having those cigars.
This is true, actually, except today is not a day where I'm going to be smoking a cigar because of oral surgery, but let's move on to the more fun stuff and not talk about evil little things. Dave, give us a little bit of a heads up. What exactly is it you're doing right now with your career?
Well, you know, where I'm at is I work with organizations that are looking to transform their teams into radically accountable high performers. If you think about it, everybody, irrespective of industry, has the same problem. They can't find people. And how do you grow and expand without adding people? Well, the folks you have need to be better, sharper, more engaged. And so I help business leaders who want to transform their teams into ones that act as if lives depend on them, even when only livelihoods do.
And, you know, it's funny you say that, as if their lives depended on it, which is going to be a perfect transition for your background that makes you very unique in your message. You've had military service.
And I did.
When did that start?
1987, I went to officer candidate school, and I served through 93.
Okay. And tell us, what did you do in the military? What was your
life? I was what's known as a naval flight officer, but you know, people don't know what that is. So I usually just tell people, if you've seen the original Top Gun, I was Goose, but I lived.
Well, and we are glad that you did. Did you see Top Gun 2, by the way?
No, and I'm sure I will eventually, but I got to be candid. All of these, first of all, the idea that there's a 40 years later, Tom Cruise is still in uniform and flying is so beyond the pale that I just can't get past that.
That's why I don't watch TV shows and movies about legal things. So
wait. My Cousin Vinny? Come on, that's so true to life.
That's different. My Cousin Vinny is the most accurate and most truthful show about law that ever existed, and that's a whole different story.
Yeah, but my wife cringes every time he says, I took the bar 6 times.
Yes. So tell me, as you made the transition in your business from being a military, an Air Force officer, to being
Navy.
Jesus, I am so sorry. My bad. I know. I stepped on it there. So,
big time.
You know, I forget these things because unfortunately, I always tell people I didn't serve. So I appreciate those of you that did. I just don't know all the rules. So when you made the transition, did you go right into speaking? What did you do when you came out?
Oh, no. Okay. I didn't even know speaking was a career.
All right.
It was something I started doing when I was about 1 year old, and I had never shut up. But the fact that I could get paid doing that never even crossed my mind.
So what did you do?
I started my first business right out of the Navy. My business partner, who was a guy I went through officer candidate school with, a guy I flew with, and I had both suffered through the same experience with our we got married, which we're both from other areas than San Diego. Our wives were from other areas than San Diego. And back then there was no internet. And so when you registered at a store, it was at that local store. So we started a company called National Wedding Registry to solve that problem. So our friends and families across the country, you know, we didn't end up with 20 toasters and one set of steak knives or something like that. And unfortunately, a year and a half later, the internet became more ubiquitous and wide area networks were established, and you know, the big chains solved that problem on their own. So I ended up in business. I ran 4 different companies as president in different industries, and you know, eventually found my way here.
Okay. And how did you find your way here? Okay, so you didn't know it existed. How did that happen for you?
Well, I got to experience my first professional keynote speaker. Somebody our audience will know very well, Waldo Waldman. He was the keynoter for at a week. I was moving and storage business, and 2012 conference, he was the keynote speaker, and I didn't even know what what this was, but he's a Jewish guy from New York flying for the Air Force. I was a Jewish guy from Philly flying for the Navy. We hit it off. And he'd start to come out to San Diego and we just get together for dinner and as guys do who have something in common. And as a little time passed and we talked about things, he's like, you could be doing this. And I'm like, really? I'm just a guy. I did nothing special. I didn't dodge SAMs like you did and do all the I did other cool things, but to us, our individual stories are mundane. And you don't recognize, how other people take that in. So, but anyway, that started me on the path.
And when did you give your first speech?
First keynote or first public
No,
speaking?
first public speaking, first time you took a stage and said something to people.
Well, oh God, I was probably. Well, are you counting theater or are we talking about like a?
Oh, that's a whole different path we can go down. I
Yeah.
guess I meant as a speaker, meaning you're going to take the stage and you're delivering a message because now you know there's a possible career in it.
Okay, so that would have been, let's see, it's probably about 2015. You start with the free circuit like a lot of people do, and
Yep.
I put on one public event. I think it was my first one that I made enough money to cover the room, and it was terrible, but. I was on stage talking to people, so I loved it.
Well, let's take the word terrible. If you could go back in time and give yourself a piece of advice to make it unterrible, what would that piece of advice be?
Don't try and force it into a box. I was trying to create this analogy about leadership and driving because I love to drive, but I didn't have a driving background, so it was kind of unnatural. Find
Okay.
out, look to your real life and find those analogies there, and then make it fit, right? So now I tell Navy stories and I tell business stories from my real life experience, and because they're really things that happened and lessons that I learned from them, they land a lot better.
Great advice. What is it that right now in your business, what is it that makes you get up in the morning and feel good about what you're doing?
Well, the sun makes me get up in the morning.
Okay.
I don't have shades and I don't get up to an alarm. So the sun gets up, so do I.
Let's go to the good parts of meaning. Okay, so the sun gets you up. What is it that makes you feel good and get going? What makes you inspired to work?
So in addition to keynoting, I have a group coaching program. I work with business owners who are looking to up level their team. And honestly, it's them and their success that gets me going. Because it's important. Pay it forward. I had some great mentors in my career. I remember this one guy, George Gates, who's CFO. It has nothing to do with speaking, but he was a CFO, contract CFO. He was one of the first sales I made when I was in telecom. And then he and I became friends. And because of him, my knowledge of business and business financials and how they translate into people in real life, all of that, right? So he didn't charge me for that. He was just giving me advice. So the fact that I get to pay it forward and help other people, if I help business owners become better leaders, which means their team members become better engaged, their employees have better life, right? That ripple effect is huge. And so when I see those successes, that's what warms my heart.
Well, and that's it. No, and that's great. I love always knowing who someone was inspired by in the business world. That person, what's his name?
George Gates.
George Gates. Did he inspire you much as you started speaking? Did you think about him when you spoke? What motivated you? And I guess I want to say, what mentor did you have a speaker to?
Well, Waldo was, and still remains to this day, probably my number one mentor.
Okay.
And you know, his first his, so part of his mentorship was a little bit of tough love, because the first thing he told me to do was join NSA. And I joined, and I looked on NSA webpage, and I didn't see anything that wasn't for professional speakers, and I wasn't a professional speaker. I missed the academy membership part back then. You know, we had a different membership structure, and I'm like, I can't. And he's like, well, go to the chapter meetings. And San Diego chapter, and I live in San Diego, is frankly, and even back then, was all but defunct. They'd have a couple meetings a year when a speaker was coming through, and it didn't impress me. And I'm like, okay. And so I didn't do anything. And finally, you know, he's just like, look, I don't have time to hold your hand. Join NSA. And it's probably 2017. I'm like, you know, 2 years later, I'm like, all right, if I'm serious about this. So I went on National's webpage and dug around and found the Academy membership and joined, and then went to the next Influence. And you know, that really is where things started to take off.
Let's go in a little bit of a different direction, which is, I know you, and you mentioned that you are from Philadelphia. Where in Philadelphia are you from?
I'm from the Northeast. We've
North.
had this conversation a
I know,
couple of
but
times.
no one else has heard us have it. So,
Because they would be bored.
no, it's not actually boring, because the important thing about us both being from Philly is I have to ask your favorite cheesesteak.
Steve's Princess Steaks.
All right, the discussion's over. We won. Because
You agree?
absolutely, Steve's is the best. Now, I always tell people Pat's is the best when you're over a 2.0 blood alcohol.
You know, the Pat's Geno's thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I have a preference there. You know, it's I you know, people go where they go. Who cares? It's a cool vibe at both places, but you know, I
Yeah.
don't have a preference.
Well, I always say going to Pat's when you're drunk is the best thing. Just because you can. And it's more of a touristy visit
Well,
thing.
that reminds me of my practice wife when we were engaged, and we flew back home for to meet the parents, and of course we get off the airplane and go to Pat's, and we're sitting there, and for those of you who've never been there, right, this is not an indoor restaurant, you're right. It's outside. You go up to one window, place your order, and go to another order, pick it up, and then there's these outdoor tables and an awning, and it's an angled street, right? So it's a weird intersection. So we're sitting there right at the corner of Passyunk and I think it's 9th, and this caddy, Eldorado, pulls up, double parks. This woman gets out in these big furs. It wasn't super cold, but big furs with the big hair, with the on the fingers. And she's like, "Jesus Christ, who do you have to F around here to get a parking spot?" At the top of her lungs. Now, my practice wife was from Orange County, and the look on her face brings me such joy to this day. The mortification that somebody would do that, you know, it was just great.
Well, yeah, that's another day and another interview where when I was younger, we used to go to Pat's to make fun of the people that came in from out of town. But that's another story. So, let me ask you this. When you're feeling like you're stuck and you're not having a creative day or you're not having an inspired day, what is it you do to get yourself kicked in the butt and get going?
Well, I'll be honest. When I'm not having a creative day, I don't fight it. You know, I work with Michelle Villalobos now. So you're asking me who inspires. She's my current coach, and one of the things I learned from Michelle that is fantastic, right, is energy precedes the outcome, right? So the energy state from which you create will directly affect the energy of which you create. And if I'm having an uninspired day and I cannot, like, I'll do some meditation, I'll do some things to try and get my head in a better space, but it doesn't always work. And if it doesn't, then I take that as a sign that I need this time off to myself, and I take it.
And by the way, for those that don't know, there was a we did a great interview. I had a great time with Michelle in a prior podcast. So she's awesome. Let me ask you this. Let's assume for a moment you could, sitting here today, go back and give your 16-year-old self a piece of advice about life and career. What would that be?
Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't think it's not time. You can't. You have to be older. You see it, do it. If it calls to you, do it. And do what makes you happy. Do what gives you energy, right? Do the things that light you up instead of drag you down. If you're forcing yourself to do it, you're doing something wrong.
And in giving yourself that advice, I guess I want to ask this. Would you, knowing what you know today, would you have gone into speaking earlier?
I think so. Yeah, I've always, even before I found out about professional speaking in my business career, we were doing like public seminars and web and things of, not webinars, but seminars, things of that nature. And I used to always say, "Give me a microphone and a captive audience, I'm a pig in slop." And so, I've always enjoyed being in front of people. I was, as I alluded to earlier, I was on stage as a kid, amateur theater. So the stage fright thing has never been an issue for me. And I really enjoy helping people, and so yeah, I probably would have tried to do it sooner out of the service, and but everything happens in the right time.
And let me ask you this, because I did make a note to come back to it, the theater. What did you do in theater?
Oh yeah, it was summer camp and things like amateur theater. So at the Y, the Jewish Community Center. So, I mean, I was on stage, I was behind stage, I was stage carpenter, stage manager. I've acted. The only thing I don't do is sing, although I've been in musicals. Trust me, no one would accuse me of singing.
What was your favorite role you've ever played in it?
Probably Applegate and Damn Yankees.
Okay, there you go. And that I guess that's one that would be perfect for you.
You're
And
saying
what?
I'm the devil?
No, just the whole play, Damn Yankees. No, I'm not saying you're the devil, but on the other hand, people say that about all of us in Cigar Peg, don't they?
Only those who don't know.
this is true. So tell me, as you've gone through your career, what are some of, maybe I want to ask, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. What's a myth that you thought was true when you became a speaker, where all of a sudden you went, oh my God, this is not true?
I'm not sure. Okay, yeah. Here's the myth. This is really it. And let me give a little backstory here. When I was had my second business, a telecom business, I was in a BNI group, and there was a couple business partners who they had a gym, but one of the guys was working, and I can't remember with who. Somebody wrote a book. He had been a college football player. He had never done anything that I would go like, oh wow, what an impressive life. And yet he was embarking on a speaking career, and I remember thinking to myself, he's done nothing impressive. Who's going to listen to him? That's the myth. The myth is that you have to have, summited Mount Everest blindfolded using two fingers, or you have to do something, an astronaut, a Hall of Fame baseball player, right? You have to do something extraordinary to be on stage. The reality is, every one of our lives is extraordinary because no one else is living it. And every one of our lives has chock full of lessons that other people can learn from, if you can deliver it in an inspiring and exciting way. And so that's the myth, that you need to do something completely unusual.
And as you say that, though, I guess in the world I live in, I look at you saying the role you had in the Navy was something unusual and something that some people would aspire to. And do you see your role in the Navy as having been that?
So that's a really interesting question to me. The answer is yes and no.
Okay.
Right? So, yes, I could see how somebody from the outside looking in would say that. No, it is the life I experienced, which was an ordinary life. And that's how I view it.
Okay.
You can look at every single thing that took me on my path, and there was no extraordinary, event. It's just a series of normal everyday decisions that led to where it led. That, by the way, for me, didn't lead to where I wanted it to go, which I would have called it extraordinary. I joined the Navy to become an astronaut.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask, where'd you want it to go?
Yeah, I joined to become an astronaut. I've got two guys I flew with who joined the Corps. I don't know if they ever got missions, right? Because you become an go into the astronaut corps, but then you have to qualify for a mission before you actually get into space. So there's a bunch more hoops than just joining NASA. both these gentlemen, really smart guys, and they joined NASA. They were contemporaries of mine. I had the application on my desk, and I chickened out. I just, oh, it's just, I've got nothing to offer. I mean, that was seriously what I thought at the
Okay.
time, and I never filled it out. So to me, it was just an ordinary life.
And I guess that's what makes you awesome, is you're just a regular guy who did cool things, but we see that and maybe you don't, but that's okay. Because I think you did cool things, let me say that. As you look at your life right now, do you see yourself as successful?
Wow, another loaded question, and another yes and no. It's yeah. I could look back at the road I've been on and go, I've done a lot of things, and I've had some good financial success, and I've had some good business successes. And at the same time, I've not achieved the things I've not the th I've set high bars for myself, and I haven't always achieved them. I have some, I haven't others, and so I think as humans, we tend to, maybe not all of us, but we tend to see the things, the failures, or the things we failed to achieve. I don't want to call them failures, but things we have not yet achieved. And we look at the road ahead, and there's always a road ahead. And so that's the challenge of seeing yourself as successful is, that it's like, to me, that makes it a destination and not a journey.
I get that. And do you set goals? Do you have goals? Are you a goal-oriented person?
Yeah, that's another. So wow, I swear to God, this is like the most amazing serendipities in these questions. I have always set goals, and what I am currently learning right now is how not to set goals.
Okay. And why are you making that switch?
Let me tell you with a story because it makes sense. I know you're a
Oh,
hockey fan. I
please.
know you're a hockey fan. Did you
Yep.
play growing up?
Yeah, street hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean street. I mean ice.
No, I did not play ice. Nope.
Neither did I. We all played street hockey as kids, right? And you and I grew up with the Broad Street Bullies. And I never, I skated once or twice. And I'm 61. And 3 years ago, my wife and I took up ice hockey. Now,
Okay.
understand, we didn't know how to skate. Okay. We play 2 to 3 times a week in different leagues right now. We got a great group of friends. It's the most fun I've ever had. The reason I tell you that is there is no chance in hell that I'm going to become a professional hockey player at 61. It's never going to happen, right? In other words, I don't have a goal in hockey other than to have fun and enjoy myself. And yeah, I want to improve every week, right? And do a little bit better, but that's not really a goal, right? It's not a defined goal. Make the NHL, make the world, what AHL, right? Become a professional hockey player, playing your whatever. I don't have any of that. And I'm telling you, I'm having more fun doing this than I've done anything else. And it's because there's no pressure. I don't need goals in my life anymore. And learning to do that is a challenge.
That's awesome. That is an awesome thought and something to embrace. So let me ask you this. Okay, we don't have goals, and that's all right, you're learning. But do you have something new on the horizon that might be on your whiteboard, in your dream book, something about your career that was not there 30 days ago or 6 months ago, and all of a sudden you're like, this is something I want to do.
Yeah, I want to create an online course. That's on my roadmap. That's pretty new. That I didn't set out to do that. I'm building my group coaching program. That's I'm working with Michelle. That's not brand new, but when I set out on this career, I set out just to be a keynoter. I didn't know what it's all I knew was keynoting. I saw a keynoter, I said, I want to do that. I want to get on stage. Oh, I'd get paid $20,000 to blab for an hour. Who doesn't want to do that? And I still want to do that, and I'm doing that. And I've added other things, because I recognize from a business sense that, that's really transactional, and I want my career to be beyond, not just be transactional. I want to have other components.
Well, let me ask you this, and we're going to start to wrap up here. So, what time of day do you get the most work done?
I'm a morning guy.
Okay.
So, as I said, I don't get up to alarms. I get up at the sun or before. I'm up at 5, 5:30. Like today, I slept into 6. Like, whew,
Cool.
yeah. And I'm a morning guy, and by 1 o'clock, My brain is mush. I'm not doing anything creative but after 1 o'clock. And sometimes frequently before that.
So then I picked a really bad time to interview you because this is mush hour for you.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't have to be creative here, so you know.
I'm just kidding. But just so we can let everybody know, people that listen to this and are looking for you, what's the best way for people to reach out and get in touch with you? So, if fellow cigar pickers want you, they can find you.
Yeah, they can find, well, one, I'll get, happy to give out my email address. It's Dave at lockedonleadership.com. Webpage is lockedonleadership.com, LockedOn, leadership.com. I've learned as a Philadelphian, even 30 years removed, if I don't spell things out, nobody understands what I'm saying.
I'm just, yes, I get that. Okay, so we have everybody can reach, get a hold of you. Two last questions. One is, if you could do your entire life over, is there a career you would try that you didn't get a chance to try?
God, you know, I hate those sort of questions. I've had an amazing life. I wouldn't try a different career. I would spend my time in the Navy differently.
Okay.
You know, I was a bit of a knucklehead, you know, a bit of that, you know, street kid, know-it-all, you know, and so I ruffled a lot of feathers, which is one of the reasons my career was as short as it was. I would do that differently.
All right. And well, but it did end up in a great place, so that's always good.
You
Meaning
know,
it ended differently, but you ended up doing great. That's awesome.
nothing happens by accident. Everything's intentional. The universe gives us the lessons we needed to learn, and the path I took was the path I needed to take to get where I am today. So I'm not complaining.
No,
And at the
I
same time,
understood that. No, I love it. Let me ask you this one last thing. So as we get to the end here, as people that listen all the way to the end of it, what's one last thing you might want to suggest to people as a piece of advice, a learning experience, or just something you'd love to tell people that we haven't covered?
that we haven't, I mean, my best advice is already out here, which is do what lights you up, do what makes you happy, do what gives you joy and gives you energy, right? If it's an energy suck, get rid of it. If it's an energy builder, keep it.
That is a perfect way to end this interview. And thank you so much, everyone. This has been Dave Rosenberg in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.